Thank you, Sister White. And somebody asked me a while ago, am I here to speak for the ladies or the Sunday school? And I told them, I think that they're just trying their best to get their money's worth out of me. But we are glad to be here, and we trust that some way we can be a blessing to you. I know that I'm going to be just a regular old griper, but seeing as how we've got so much room, if y'all would kind of get a little closer together, you folks way over there in that wing, if y'all would move over here better, it would sure help me, because my neck needs a grease job. It doesn't turn real well. And I could see you a lot better, and I like to see who I'm talking to, especially when I start talking about honeymoon. Sister White, that's so sweet of y'all to do that. I like y'all plumb good for doing it. Sister White said I should know all about a honeymoon. I really don't. In fact, I know very little, if anything, about it. When I got married, I was a young evangelist. And we didn't have near enough money for the moon. But we did have plenty of honey. And, of course, after we had been married 25 years, we'd always planned on our 25th anniversary we was going to do something real drastic. And so we went to Europe and spent some time over there. And by then, the honey was gone. All we had was the moon. So I've never been able to get the honey and the moon together. So maybe I can do it today. No, I'm just kidding. There's still plenty honey there. In fact, that's what I call her, is honey. But it's good to be with you again in this service today. And I really don't know for sure what I'm going to talk about. I've looked in my concordance, and honeymoon is not in the Bible. So I'm going to have to really get out on my imagination for a little while, and when I get to the honeymoon part, well, I'm going to have to walk on my imagination, and y'all going to have to kind of go along with me. But I've got a little problem in this lesson for today, and that is the fact that the wedding is supposed to take place tonight. And we're having the honeymoon now. We Pentecostals don't believe in that kind of stuff. I mean, the world might do it that way, but we don't. So to keep it legal, I'm going to have to get it married before they can take a honeymoon. I'm just not going to let them go on a honeymoon until they're married. And so I'm going to read some scripture. I don't know if they'll apply, but you're supposed to read some Bible anyway. So let me read from the book of Revelation. I feel kind of crazy today. But I feel plumb good about it, because I sat through Sister Price's lesson this morning, and she's crazy as I am. And I'm not saying that, you know, to be sarcastic. She just is. I laughed so much till I couldn't hardly contain myself. Revelation, I'll read what I guess you think I'm supposed to read. The honeymoon usually comes after the reception, don't it? Is that right? Okay. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And now, since I've read what I was supposed to, let me read what I want to. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 18 and 19. And there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. And I want to talk to you today, and we will go on into the honeymoon part, but I want to talk to you about the way of a man with a maid. Now, since I told you that it's illegal, scripturally, spiritually, to have a honeymoon before the wedding, I've got to have the wedding first. And before you have a wedding, there normally is supposed to be a courtship. And before there can be a courtship, you've got to meet the bride or the groom, whichever, you know, you're supposed to have. And I do hope we can always keep it straight that there should be a bride woman and a groom man. Instead of mixing that thing all up and just get two women or two men. And I didn't say that for a joke. We're living in days, we better give these things some serious consideration. And the only way that I know that a marriage spiritually between Jesus Christ and the church or an individual, there must be that divine meeting through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You don't know God until you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You just don't. The Bible said that no man can even say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Now I want to tell you something. Maybe that's why the world always uses the terminology of accepting Christ as a personal Savior. Because they don't know Him as Lord until they have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, it's one thing to say, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Big deal. What have you done? Anybody let somebody save them. But you never really become acquainted with Him until you can bow before Him and recognize Him as your Lord and your Master. Somebody said one time, and I've never really taken a lot of time to look it up, and you might look it up if you want to, but somebody said that Judas Iscariot never got to the place that he would call Jesus his Lord and Master. Never. Until you can reach the place that you know Him as your Lord and your Master, forget a honeymoon with Him. Because He's not going to take a stranger on a honeymoon. Now, I'm not going to get all wound up today. I'm just going to be calm, cool, and collected and talk to you right out of the bottom of my heart. And I'm glad we got a lot of young people in here because I want to talk to you some. So we meet the Lord in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and through the power of water baptism in Jesus' name. We become acquainted with him. And then we begin to decide whether we're going to tie up and live with him, or whether it's going to be just a brief date and then each go our merry way. And so we come to what I want to dwell on for a while, and that is the way of a man with a maid. Now, I believe that in this proverb, there is a prophecy concerning the church. I really believe that. Because listen to me. Solomon was using one of the proverbs of a man by the name of Agur, but he was adopting it as his own feeling. And he said, there are three things that are too wonderful for me, yea, four I can't understand. I could talk for a while about the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, the way of a serpent on the rock. I could talk about all those, but since this is ladies' day and they want me to talk about honeymoon, I got to get to that sometime today. So let me just go this route. Now, Solomon said, I don't understand it. I can't grasp it. And the amazing thing to me was, he said, the way of a man with a maid. Now, if anybody in the world ought to have been able to understand that, Solomon should have. 700 wives, 300 concubines, or vice versa. It's too many regardless. But you mean here's a man that's got that women, many women around him, and he don't understand it? He's either a fool or confused one if he don't understand that. But I feel like that it was really a prophecy concerning the church. And you can never understand the church until you become a part of it. And I believe that's one reason Solomon could not understand it, because he never was a part of the church of the living God. Hallelujah. You ever seen a man and woman married together, you women? You ever seen a woman married to a man and you saw that buzzard? And you said, dear Lord, I don't understand how she can put up with him. Men, you ever see a woman? Nagging, grouchy, always sickly, whining, squalling, bawling. Dear Lord, how in the world does that man put up with her? I wouldn't live with her 5 minutes. No, you wouldn't. You're not married to him. You're not in love with him. That's why I'm talking about that you'll never understand the way of a man with a maid. You'll never understand the relationship of Christ with the church until you become a part of the church. You'll never understand it as long as you live. Now, when I say the way of a man with a maid, I'm not going to ask you what you thought about. I'm just going to read your mind. Nearly every time you mention the way of a man with a maid, somebody wants to put their hand over their mouth and snicker a little bit. Because immediately their mind goes to the bedroom. Can I just talk frank a little bit? I don't know why. I cannot understand why in this modern age that you and I live in, that so much emphasis in a marriage and in marriage relationship is centered around the bedroom. Wow. Boy, it's tombstone quiet in here now. Now, I'll agree with you that compatibility is a very important part in a marriage. But I think it has been overemphasized and overplayed. And many of our young people are entering into marriage with one thing in mind, and that is the bedroom scene. And if that is not compatible, they feel like that their marriage is destined to fail. There's a lot more involved in the way of a man with a maid than just the bedroom.
Yes.
Glory. I hope you're understanding what I'm talking about. I'm trying to be plain, but I'm trying to be nice without being too plain. What are some of the ways of a man with a maid? Now, it did not say a maid with a man. It said a man with a maid. So this naturally, in my estimation, puts the man as the aggressor. You did not choose Christ. He chose you. Somebody said, I made my personal decision to live for Christ. Who ever heard of such a thing? You didn't choose him. He said he chose you. He said, you didn't choose me. I'm old fashioned. I still believe the man ought to propose to the woman. And I'm going to tell you girls something. Something was said last night. Brother Elm said something about, you know, somebody buying somebody supper. I'm going to tell you girls something. If you have to buy that old boy supper to get a date with him, you better forget that sorry thing. Because if you ever start it, friend, you'll never stop it. Because he's smart enough to know when he's got a good thing going. But in the way of a man with a maid, one of the most important things that's involved is the man becomes the aggressor. And a man in his rightful position with a maid assumes the role of the provider. Glory. Now, I know that we're living in a day when, friend, it's hard to make ends meet financially. And with the high cost of things out here in California, oh, my, I couldn't believe it. Of course, wage scale is higher out here, but I walked in the restaurant yesterday. No, I was in my motel room, and I picked up that little old thing. I wasn't planning on eating. I was just curious. But I picked up that little old menu that was on my dresser. And brother, I couldn't believe the price of food. Boy, if you could make California wages and buy food at Georgia prices, you'd be in good shape. But it's tough to make Georgia wages and buy food at California prices. And I know that a lot of times to make ends meet and to get things going, the man and the woman sometimes has to work. Both of you to make things go. But I want to tell you something. I believe it's always been God's plan, and I believe it is now for the man to be the principal provider for the family unless there is something specific that would change it around. Sickness or something. Amen. So, when you young folks are looking for your companion, can I give you a little bit of advice? I can give it. Now, whether you'll take it or not, that's a question. I'm fixing to. But you girls, When you start looking for you a boyfriend, seriously. Now, I'm not talking about one that used to, you know, go out and buy you a hamburger when you're broke. I'm talking about one when you're getting ready to think about getting married. And usually they start that by the time they're 2 years old. I like what Brother Price said this morning in our married couples class regarding young people that are not married. If you young people are not married yet, for God's sake, in the name of Jesus Christ, don't feel pressurized that you got to be married time you're 17 or you're destined for an old maid. It is not dishonorable to be single. In fact, I'm going to tell you, it's a lot more honorable to be single before you're married than it is to get married and then turn single. And some of these young people that feel like by the time they reach 19, if they're not married, that they're just, you know, thrown in prison and doomed to die. They'll jump at anything that comes along and marry up with them, and you can't live with the things. And so the marriage goes on the rocks, and then you're in worse shape than you were to start with. So when you girls start looking for a husband, oh, he's so handsome. Oh, do you see those big old shoulders and those big old muscles just rippling under his shirt? Oh, look at that masculine features. I want to tell you something. There are some things that's more important than being handsome. You better check that dude's working record. You better find out how long he's held the last job he's got. If he's got one. You better find out if he's got any respect for a woman or not. Let him take you somewhere. And if he walks in ahead of you, forget him. Because he don't got no manners. Say, oh, that's trivial. No such a thing. The day will come, if you marry up with that rascal, you'll beg for 1 ounce of attention. And you'll never get it. If he don't have any respect for you before you get married, he's going to have less after.
Yes, amen.
Oh, she is so pretty. Whew, a living dog. Oh, boy, when she blinks those eyes. Oh, that skin is so soft and... Oh, whoo, you know. Isn't that silly? You better quit worrying about how pretty she is. You might ought to try to find out if she can make biscuits. I don't care how pretty she is. After a while, beauty fades. And when you get up every morning and look at burnt toast and coffee that you can't drink. And I want to tell you something. She ain't going to be that pretty that next morning when you wake up. I want to tell you something. I'll just drop that where I am. If you're planning to be married to Jesus Christ, he'll take care of you. He'll provide all of your needs according to the riches of His glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you something. You need to make up your mind you're going to be worthy of His provision. Hallelujah. A church, a saint of God, that's not willing to get their hands messed up working for God, their marriage won't last to Jesus Christ. All right, the next thing in the way of a man with a maid is that man should protect that maid. Protect her. I'll never forget. It's been, I guess, 3 years ago now. I was preaching for Brother Gray down in San Diego. I had just had a surgery done on my hip, and I was still walking with a cane and still weak, and my legs was wobbly. I hadn't been out of the hospital long. And right down at the bottom of the hill, there was a pretty bad atmosphere, if y'all ever been to San Diego. There's a club down there, and it's just not the best, you know. And I took one trip down there, and I saw a bunch of hoodie-looking characters around there. And would you believe that's where the washateria was? And so our clothes got dirty, and it was wash day. So my wife said, I'm going down to the hill there to that washateria and wash our clothes. Now, I don't ever go to the washateria with her. That's her department. But I said, honey, you just wait a minute till I get ready. I'm going with you. She said, what are you going for? I said, there's some hoodie-looking characters down there, and I don't want you down there by yourself. I thought about it after it was all over with. But here she waited for me, and I got all ready, and I got out my cane. I was still walking with it then, and there I was hobbling down on wobbly legs, and what are you going for? I'm going to protect. I got down there, and there's a guy, he was a bit about like that brother and sister Gazowski's church, big old fella. I took one look at him, and man, he could have knocked me down just looking at me. And I saw a bunch of these other characters around. I said, well, dear, what, you know, protecting her. I don't know what I'd have done. If one of them would have tried to do something, I don't know what I'd have done. All I had was a cane. If I used it to hit with, I couldn't hardly stand up. But I felt that obligation as the man with the maid to protect her. So when you fall in love with Jesus Christ, you can rest assured that He's going to take care of you. Yes. Hallelujah. He said a mother can forsake her sucking child, but said, I'll never forsake my children. Hallelujah to God. He's going to take care of His children. He may send an angel sometime and grab a hold of your steering wheel and take care of you. That's right. And then in the way of a man with a maid, he loves her. He loves her. Love goes deeper than just a physical contact. I said love goes deeper than a physical contact. Young boy come into my office one time, and I found out he had been getting a little too familiar with a girl in the church. You know, I don't mean it was, you know, all that bad, but it wasn't good. So it was somewhere in there, you know. So I called him in and I said, Chuck, I hear things is a little too familiar. He said, what do you mean? I said, well, I hear you've been doing some pretty heavy smooching with that girl. Now, don't get all excited. My breath is too precious for me to waste telling you young folks not to kiss. I thought I'd get some amens out of that. But I'll tell you one thing. I never kissed my wife one time until I married her. Because she wasn't my wife until I married her. Y'all explain it to the rest of them after this is over with you. I'm going to tell you young folks something. A physical touch leads to something else. Holding hands will never stop at holding hands. You will never stop with a slight embrace. And if you don't go on physically, you will go on mentally. And the first thing you know, that mental attitude will be so strong within you that you will yield physically. So the safest way is to draw you a line and don't never cross that line. Amen. So Chuck didn't deny it. He said, I'll admit. But he said, Brother Johnson, how am I going to know that I love her if we don't kiss? Now that blew my mind. And I looked at him straight in the eye and I said, Chuck, if that's the only thermometer that you got to judge love, you are in bad shape, boy. Because I said, there's some old gals that just learn how to do it. Love has got to go further than a physical touch. The way of a man with a maid is for that man to love her. For there to be such a deep love that it could be expressed with just a change of glance. I was so glad to hear Sister Price. I don't know if she's here or not, but I was so glad to hear her because I thought maybe me and my wife was all gushy mushy. Because you know, we drive down the road sometime for miles. Now Sister Price said they go for hours. I don't know, but we go for miles sometime and never say a word to each other. But as the young folks would say, you can feel them vibrations. Them vibes, you know. What I'm trying to tell you is there is a relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. Glory to God. That He loves us so much, and we in turn love Him so much, that just to be with each other glory. Last night I got in my room after we went out with Brother and Sister Elms and ate a bite. My wife at this time is in Dallas. I called her. It would have been right at 2:00 there. But you know, even when you wake somebody up hundreds of miles away and that real love is there, you still get that feeling. I'd have a time touching her as far as she is from me now. But just to think about her I can feel love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to say is, if your marriage and your relationship to Jesus Christ is built on your feeling Him, there may be times that your relationship will falter. Because I'll be honest with you, it's not always that I feel Him. I have gone through times in my life that I did not feel God. I've never seen Him. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Now, some people says they have, and I'm not going to argue. Maybe they're more spiritual than I am, or maybe they needed it more than I do. I've never heard the audible voice of God. So there's been times that I haven't heard Him, I haven't seen Him, and I haven't felt Him. But I know He still loves me. Glory to God. And that means so much to me today, just to know that He loves me. You see, my relationship to Him is not built on how much of Him I feel, or how much I see, or how much I hear. It's built upon love. And when a relationship is built on love, it's not easily affected by the things that's around it. Did you get that? You see, people sometimes, it's always thinking about backsliding. And they say, well, I can't live for God because so and so did such and such to me. That doesn't make sense to me. Somebody say something hard to you. This brother here, he reaches over and says something hard to Brother Richard. I believe that, isn't it, Richard? He reaches over and says something hard to Brother Richard. Brother Richard gets mad and stomps out of here and said, I ain't never coming back again. I'm just going to backslide. I'm just going to quit. You mean that man is going to quit the church? He's going to quit God? He's going to lose fellowship with the saints of God because of what he did to him? That don't make sense. That don't make sense. Yeah, but everybody else is doing it. Well, somebody said this morning there's one divorce out of every two or three or four marriages. But you know what? My relationship to my wife is not built on what somebody else does. Y'all can all separate and get a divorce. I'm going back to Dallas and love that gal. I ain't fixing to leave her. Think I'm going to leave her because what somebody else does? You think I'm going to leave Jesus Christ because there's a few hypocrites hanging around? Because somebody said a little something that hurt my little darling feelings? I'm talking about the way of a man with a maid to love them. To love them. Your relationship to God, if your union is ever going to succeed, is going to be built on love and not just a physical touch. Let me say this. When a person marries or falls in love with one particular thing in a person, that marriage is going to be on rough ground. Glory. If he falls in love with beauty, sometime with years, beauty fades. Of course, not with me. I'm getting better looking all the time. My wife is blessed. But with years, you know, your hair just turns gray or turns loose, one or the other. And with the years, unless you're careful, pounds is just going to come on. Amen. My little old wife, bless her heart, she's been dieting for about 8 months and lost 35 pounds. She went to the doctor and was griping about it, and he said, you better thank God. He said, you wait a few more years and it'll be harder then for you to lose weight than it is now. So if you fall in love with just beauty, Wrinkles come. Shoulders stoop. Feet gets unsteady. And beauty fades. Glory. You fall in love with any one particular thing about a person, it's not long until that becomes stale. Marilyn Monroe had supposed to have been in her day the best figure in Hollywood. She had boyfriends coming out her eyes, ears, nose, and throat. Married no telling how many times. Elizabeth Taylor supposed to have been the prettiest woman in the world in her day. Married God only knows how many times. You see, you can't base your marriage on one particular thing. You've got to fall in love with a total person. Some people, when they fall in love with Jesus, they only fall in love with his blessings. They only fall in love with his goodness. They only fall in love with his kindness. They don't fall in love with the work that's got to be done. They always want to go to church and shout and talk in tongues and jump up and down and run the aisles and cut flips, but they don't want to pay tithe. Whoa! They don't want to clean the church on church cleaning day. They don't want to make peanut brittle on peanut brittle day. They don't want to go sell it when somebody else makes it. All they want to do is go to church and shout and talk in tongues. They just fell in love with one thing about God, and that was his goodness. But when it stops being good, they can't live for him anymore. That's what Job's wife did. When the money stopped coming in and things got rough, Job's wife said, "Let's curse God and die. Just curse him, Job. He don't love you anyway." Job said, "Oh, no. I fall in love with a total God. And I fell in love with his blessings, but I'm going to fall in love with him and stay in love with him even through the cursings. I love him anyhow." What are you doing, Brother Johnson? Getting ready to get married. Because I can't go on a honeymoon until I get married. And I can't get married until I'm sure that I've got the right one. Hallelujah. So, he proposes, "Will you?" And we say, "Yeah." And so now we're ready for the wedding. Glory. If I'd have had time to rehearse it, I'd have had the wedding march and all that, but I guess they'll have that tonight. So I'll just leave that. But you know, I have performed a lot of weddings. I like to marry people. I hate to preach funerals, but I like to marry people. I get excited about it. I wouldn't care if I had a wedding every day. 3 or 4 days anyway. I love to marry people. Now, I have spent very little time in the bride's room. I went in there when my two daughters got married because they wanted to take some pictures of me with the daughters. And so I went in the bride's room with them. But really, that's about the only time I've ever been in the bride's room. But they tell me how the bride gets all nervous, you know, and "Hey, is my hair fixed right? Is my veil straight? And what about my train? Is it all right?" And all that kind of stuff, you know. I don't know very little about that, just what they told me. But I have been in a many a groom's room. It's not only the bride that's nervous and excited. The groom is excited. They'll stand there and they'll get their tuxedo on and all that kind of junk. And then they start pacing the floor. "What time is it?" "Five more minutes." "Five minutes. What time is it? Is my bow tie right?" You know. "Now, Brother Johnson, when you make me repeat, we'll do it slow now and don't do much at a time because I'll forget it." Getting ready to get married. "Who comes out first, Brother Johnson? Let's go through that one more time." So we go through it one more time. Walk about 3 feet behind me. I'll go first, then the groom, and on down.
He's so nervous he don't know what to do. Finally, we get out there. Everybody stands. And you know, it's amazing how you can forget all the wedding music. You don't know when what's supposed to happen. See, the organ's got to have a certain sound on that, ta-ta-ta-da, before the bride comes in. They may do that several times. I've heard them do it so much till it gets old nearly. But it's got a certain sound, you know. And so maybe the back door opens and that groom perks up. Oh, it's just one of the, you know, girls. He forgets how many's in the wedding. He don't think that there's a girl for every boy. He could just look behind him and see how many boys are there and know how many girls are coming. But every one of them, bride? No, no bride. But after a while, da, 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 da. And here she comes down the aisle. Whew. She's been pretty before, but never that pretty. We've got two girls. I saw them a few minutes after they was born. And I saw them just the other day. The prettiest time that I ever saw them in all of their lives was when they walked down the aisle to get married. They've never been so pretty before or since. I want to tell you something. When this church unites with Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart, she's going to be the prettiest then that she's ever been. Now these pessimists that's running around, and if we happen to have one here today, I'm a talking at you. These pessimists that's running around thinks that the church is dying by degrees and that it's going to find that the Lord's going to come just before the barrier. I just don't agree with that. I don't believe he's coming back for a wrinkle-faced, prune-faced bride. I believe he's coming for a church that is beautiful. A church that has made herself ready. Hallelujah. He's coming back for a bride that has adorned herself for her husband. Now, I might stop here long enough that, you know, we Pentecostals are a bunch of plain folks. If you want to wear a bunch of makeup, eyebrow stuff, blush, it's still rude. You can change the name of it, but it's still wrong. If you want to fill up all the cracks and wrinkles with pancake dough, well, go ahead. If you want to put, you know, necklaces and bracelets and ear bobs and all that, well, you go ahead. But I want to tell you something. When you do that, look in the book of Revelation, and you'll find that is the whore that is riding the beast that dresses up in that kind of attire. And when you identify with those things, you are identifying with the woman on the beast. But if you want to identify with the church, she was clothed in white linen. Plain and simple, but it was the righteousness of the saints of God. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Friend, the church is not going to die before he comes to get it. It's going to be alive and well. Glory to God. So she comes down the aisle. The eternal Spirit of God performs the wedding. I can almost hear him as the church stands, as Jesus Christ stands, and somewhere the Spirit of God said, "Who gives this woman away?" Hallelujah. And Father Time, says I, and Mother Earth
do give this woman. Hallelujah. When time ceases to be for the bride of Christ and earth loses its gravitation, Father Time and Mother Earth gives the bride away. I don't know all the details of this wedding, but then we're going to be whisked away to the fellowship hall somewhere in the glory world for the marriage supper of the Lamb. I read a little article that Brother Davis put in his paper down in San Bernardino. The man that was editing the paper was interviewing Brother Von Martin. And they said, "Brother Martin, do you believe that there will be food at the marriage supper of the Lamb?" Brother Martin said, "Why, sure." He said, "Pentecostal people always go to eat after a good service." I don't know what they're going to serve. They ought to have a little gumbo and rice for everybody from Louisiana. Surely they'd have a little Baskin Robbins ice cream for dessert. I don't know what they're going to serve. I really don't know. And don't care. But somewhere there will be a marriage supper of the Lamb. The greatest reception of them all. And then, after the reception, the honeymoon. Where are we going? I really don't know. And I'm not a prophecy student. And I'm not going to try to get on when the rapture of the church is going to be, if there is going to be one. I've got my own opinion. I ain't going to argue with you. But you see, the Bible does say something about one coming back through the heavens, riding on a white horse. And on his vesture and on his thigh is going to be written the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then there's going to be somebody coming behind him on white horses. Could it be that we're going to take a honeymoon riding a horse with Jesus Christ? I'm going to tell you what, riding a horse, jet, walking or crawling will be fine with me if I can just be where Jesus is. If I can just be where He is, that'll be fine with me. And then I close with this. On the honeymoon, you usually go where the groom has picked out to go. The bride makes a lot of plans for the wedding, but the groom usually decides. I mean, that's the way it used to be. I don't know about now. I don't know nothing no more. Because nowadays the girls propose. They ask for the dates. I don't know who's supposed to do what, but used to, the boy decides where the honeymoon was. And I think that's closer to Jesus. He said, "I'm going to fix a place for you." But on that honeymoon, you move into an intimacy with the groom that you've never known before. And this is one of the sacred, beautiful things about keeping yourself, young people, clean and virtuous until the marriage. And then you will have a new romance. You will have something exciting.
an intimacy that you have never known before. Friend, I do not believe that you're getting all that God has got for you right here. The best time that you've ever had in God, I believe there is an intimacy with Him that will be greater than that, and you will never share it until you go with Him on the honeymoon. You say, well, what could be any better than we were feeling last night? I really don't know, but it's going to be better. It's going to be better because you will move into a realm and a dimension of love and unity with Him that you never knew in your life before. Because the Bible said, now we know in part, but then we shall know even as we're known. Now I'm going to insert this in there just for the sake of giving y'all something to argue about. I have a lot of doubts. I'm almost scared to say this because you may argue too much. But I have a lot of doubts that we're going to walk up and down the streets of gold saying, hello, Peter, James, and Paul. Yeah, but the Bible said we'll know as we're known. One man told me one time, he said, that's what's going to make heaven heaven, is because I'm going to be there with my grandma and grandpa and aunt and uncle. I said, if that was heaven, you'd have had that long time ago. Hey, don't look at me so hard. I'm not going to get mad if you disagree with me. But when the Bible talks about knowing as we're known, I think it's talking a lot deeper than me knowing Richard Gazowski. We're going to know in a realm as God knows. We know in part. Hallelujah. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part, we're going to enter into an intimacy with God that we've never known before. Now let me give you a little Johnson theology and I'll quit. Somebody said, I'm going to my mansion in the sky. It's all right. Go ahead. Could it be that Jesus has got something better than a mansion for His bride? Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But He said, I go to prepare a place for you. A prepared place for prepared people. I don't know what I'm going to live in the glory world. But I believe with all of my heart that it's going to be better than anything that my little old mind can imagine. And I think it's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. Sister Gazowski, would you play in three flats and let's sing It Will Be Worth It All When We See Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Him. When we see Jesus, life's trials will seem so small. Shall we stand? When we see Christ, one glimpse of His, all sorrow in. So bravely run this race, dear. Christ, it will be worth when we Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His, all sorrow will erase. Hallelujah. I can't help but believe that spiritually speaking, we're all in the dressing rooms. It can't be long. It can't be long.